count myself fortunate to have the opportunity to stand before you once again. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And please be sure to place your bookmark there so that we can refer to other places and get right back to it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 is it's one of those passages that is often controversial. A controversial passage that people like to use for their own ends and confuse a lot of people as to what it means. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Almost something that people quote when you talk about anybody in sin. Well, judge not that ye be not judged. It's almost like a reaction. It just comes out of their mouth. How can we judge someone else? Because they look at this passage and don't look at the rest of the Bible. Don't have any idea really what they're talking about. You know, I was in Lawton, Oklahoma just the other day, a week ago now. And in Oklahoma was where that big case was where a woman had been tossed out of the church because of adultery. And it made it as far as the Donahue Show. Those of you old enough recognize 70s talk on the TV. And Brother Garland Elkins was on the Donahue Show defending the church and the doctrine of Christ with regard to the matter of disfellowship. And of course, someone has to come up from the audience and say, well, doesn't it say, judge not that ye be not judged? Well, Brother Elkins, he's recently passed on. He was a teacher there at the Memphis School of Preaching for a long, long time. And preaching for, it had to be 60 years that he had been a gospel preacher. He knew exactly what to say, and he had a command of the Bible, second to none. And he told them, well, haven't you ever read John 7, verse 24, where it tells you to judge righteous judgment? In fact, if you have a pencil or a pen that, and you don't mind marking in your Bibles, anybody having ever seen mine knows that I don't mind marking in my Bible. Right there, right there in the margin beside, judge not that ye be not judged. Why don't you pencil in or write in John 7 and verse 24? Because it's going to be your first line of defense. When you get to other passages that are obviously telling you to judge, make a judgment, and to pass judgment even on some people, that you need that to show that we are to judge righteous judgment. And by that passage, we can see that that's not what it's talking about. Judge not doesn't mean don't make righteous judgment, because you have this other passage telling you to do exactly that. I want you to make note at this time of Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. And as you study this passage, think about Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, and see if the understanding that you have coincides, whether you can justify a stand that we are never to judge based upon Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. The scene is in Babylonian captivity. Not everyone has been taken into captivity, but Ezekiel, the prophet, and others had already been taken captive and were languishing by the river Kibar. But God had a word for them, told them what was wrong with Israel at that time, and gave Ezekiel some instructions. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 reads, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 21, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. And yet there are some, reading that last passage, and indeed the whole of what we just read, are going to say, well, judge not that ye be not judged. They want to keep you from telling people that they're in sin. And so we come to the conclusion, as we draw our righteous conclusions, that this is not what Jesus is talking about when he informs us to tell people that they're in sin, that there are things that they must not do, or lest they not enter into the kingdom of heaven. When men gather evidence and come to a conclusion, even if that conclusion is that a man is in sin, this is righteous judgment. It's something that we must do. It's something that we are, that's our job. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We want to do it in love. But we have to tell people that they're in sin, that they're off the track, that they need to get on back on the narrow way. And if we don't, blood is on our hands. We need to understand that. When we talk about judge not that ye be not judged, we also need to note 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, as the Apostle Paul ends this letter, which he is writing to some young Christians. Some would say between the church was there between 6 months or 6 weeks and 6 months. Not quite sure exactly how old they are in the faith, but not very old. They are new Christians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, we read these words: prove all things, hold fast that which is good. This is the kind of judgment that we can make. Prove or test all things. How do we test them? We look at what reality is, match it up with the Scriptures. If the Scripture says it's sin, well, we say it's sin. If the Scripture says it's righteous, we say it's righteous. Easy enough, is it not? All it takes is for us to study and to notice what reality is in our world. It may be in our lives. It may be in a brother's life that's close to us. It may be in the Pope of Rome's life. But we need to know what is true and right. Match it up with what's in the Scripture and stand by it. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You know what holding fast means. I mean, how many years can you look at the denture commercials and not know what hold fast means? Or what's that one? You got the one where they stick a block on the hard hat and super glue. And you have this man hanging from the hard hat because it's holding fast to the beam ahead. And so what do we come to the conclusion? What does hold fast mean? It means you grab onto it and don't let go. It's kind of like a child that doesn't want to go in the swimming pool. Knows what to grab onto. Usually, if you have facial hair, it's going to be that. It's going to be your ear or your earring. It's going to be your hair. Anything, but rather than go into what they're afraid of, they're going to grab hold and try not to let go. In Acts chapter 8, verses 21 through 23, we find the Apostle Peter making a conclusion. Acts chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. There was a man right in front of him, a man that was in sin, a man that tried to buy the office of an apostle. If you didn't understand that's what this man was doing, that's what he was doing. He wanted the power to give others the spiritual gifts. And so he offered them money. The Apostle Peter called him on it and made a judgment. So as we think about judge not that you be not judged, Let's think about what Peter did here. Verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. How did he know that? The apostles did not have the power to look in people's hearts. But look at what they said or what they did. They could. This man had been, Peter had been offered money. And he said, your heart's not right in the sight of God. Thy money perish with thee, verse 20 says, because thou hast thought. I'm sorry, just one of those days. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It's obvious. He had made a judgment. Yes, he had made a judgment. He looked at the facts, matched it up with what he knew of the Word of God, and found that the man was weighed and found wanting. And so he told him to repent, to change his mind, to change his ways. And the man was then invited to do that very thing. Now, the false thought with regard to judge not that you be not judged, well, it falls short, doesn't it? Because the Apostle Peter was making a judgment, that's for sure. But he wasn't making it on his own ideas, on his own thoughts. No, he was making them on the thoughts of God. By what will we be judged? Will we be judged by my thoughts or ideas? Do any of you fear that when you get to the day of judgment that the Lord is going to quote Eddie Watkins? If you do, you ought not. John chapter 12, verse 48 is very clear on what we are to fear. Jesus' words are those words that are going to be used when we get to the day of judgment. That's what you have to match up to. Not the opinion of man. And when you think about that passage, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. You should want to be judged by the words of Christ. Why? Because we all want what is fair. We all want what is good. We all want what is right, or should. We have nothing to fear if we meet up with what Jesus says. Let's notice what the passage reads. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It doesn't matter what Martin Luther said. It doesn't matter what the popes of Rome said. It doesn't matter what John Calvin said or your Aunt Sally. It really doesn't. They'll not be referred to on the day of judgment. It will be, did you do what Jesus said? Now, that is truly what you're going to be judged by. And so if you interpret Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 that you'll not be judged, think again. Or that no one should judge, think again. You're going to be judged. That's the truth and the fact. And so what Matthew 7 and verses 1 and 2 is talking about is someone's opinion, someone trying to rule over you, someone doing those things that are not according to the Scripture, that are not judging by a true standard. False judgment is what is meant. A false standard. Using false evidence. False reasoning. I am sure that you have been under the thumb at some time of someone who wanted to judge you by their own judgment. I just don't think that's right. But the Bible says, it doesn't matter. I don't think that's right. But the Bible says, don't you want to go by the Bible? I just think this is the way we ought to go. And therefore, you're judged by what a human mind thinks. A human mind that can't see into the human heart. A human mind that can't know what God is eventually going to say, except they read the Scripture. It's just inadequate. And so we don't want to be judged by human mind because humans cannot be always fair because they can't see everything. They can't see all the facts. So a false standard, a false evidence, a false reasoning is what it's talking about. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This kind of judgment is spoken of here. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Excuse me once again. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he saith unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if he had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, he would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. It's kind of difficult to explain everything that's going on in this passage. But you need to know that the elders of the people at that time not only had the law of God, but they had the opinions of all the rabbis that had gone on before. They were written and passed down. And some of them said those opinions went all the way back to Moses, the oral law. And finally, they were written down in what we call today the Talmud. And so it is that these people not only looked at what the law said, the written law of Moses, but what the rabbis before believed about the law. And sometimes they judged based upon that rather than the law of God. That's what Jesus is referring to here. And so these people had judged in such a way that they had condemned the guiltless. Guiltless because, well, the law allowed that very thing. As long as they didn't gather it in their clothing and make a big pile out of it, they just picked it out of the field and ate it, rubbed it in their hands and ate as they were walking. There was no problem with that. But it was for some of the elders. And so they were making them guilty when they were actually guiltless. That's what the Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2 is talking about. A false standard. The standard of men. Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 and 60. Matthew 26, verses 59 and 60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. They brought false witnesses. This is what it's talking about when it says, judge not that ye be not judged. By a false standard, by false witnesses, by false reasoning. Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 33 comes the false reasoning that we had just mentioned. Matthew 22, 23 through 33. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh, and the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now, I want you to understand the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so they had pitted this account as a proof to Jesus that the Sadducees were right with regard to the resurrection, that it didn't exist because this presented a contradiction. And so Jesus, well, let me put it this way. He let them have it. You know what that means, because you've gone home after you've done things that are not right, and your mother took one look at you and she let you have it. And so Jesus let them have it. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. Now, let me point out something. Anytime the first words coming out of someone's mouth are, ye do err, what would it be if your mother said something? You are wrong, dead wrong. Time to repent. Ye do err. He said, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Another thing about the Sadducees, they believed in the first five books of Moses. They did not go beyond in their study. They said, that's the end of Revelation. So when it comes to Joshua and Judges and all the prophets beyond that, even the Psalms, they didn't look at that. They looked at the first five books of Moses, and that's as far as they went. And to them, the first five books did not mention the resurrection. So they believed what they believed. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not God of the dead, but of the living. And so it is, he went to the first five books. And he taught them what they should have known and the scriptures that they accepted. And they could not answer. Judge not that you be not judged. Judging from ignorance. Judging with false reasoning. That's where you go with judge not that you be not judged. We don't err when we point out the sins of another. And when we use the right standard, the right evidence, and the right reasoning. No, that's righteous judgment. And so it is when someone quotes to you, judge not that you be not judged. When you're judging by the Bible, you have no reason to worry. When you stand before God on the day of judgment, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. All other things being equal, God is going to praise you for having done that. As we read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, we will have blood on our hands if we don't tell people that they are in sin. We will have blood on our hands, and it will be required of us. And so when our society says that, you know, it's convenient to have an abortion, or when it says, if you want to be popular, this can of beer will do it for you. When we run across those things, we don't warn people that that's a lie and not the truth. The blood is on our hands, and it will be required of us. But when we say loudly as it's required, that some things are sin and ought not be done, that's righteous. There may be someone here this very day that needs to repent of sins, having heard that something is a matter of sin, and they need to be relieved of that sin. We've already read Acts chapter 8, verse 22, where the apostle Peter told Simon the sorcerer, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And that is the formula for us as well. As we meet with sin and seek to clear the way, the path to heaven, we need to remember those things and have the humility, have the stuff within us to repent of things we know are wrong. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, make that so, make that correction right now, that you may be saved, that God may accept you on the last day. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and sing?